All right, let me pray one more time. Father, we thank you again for this morning that we can be here. I just pray that you would be especially with me. Help me to preach your word this morning. And Father, I also want to remember the Daniel family. Their grandfather just passed away. Pray that you would comfort them. And I pray you would use this to glorify you. I know you've said that the death of your saints is even precious in your sight. And we thank you for that. We thank you for life, and we thank you that each of us can be here this morning. We pray that you would bless us. Amen. So in the past couple years, I've struggled a bit with discouragement, even though it's not my natural makeup to be extremely susceptible to it. And during these few years, the words of David, or the words spoken of David, that we find in 1 Samuel 30, verse 6, where it says, "But David encouraged himself in the Lord," have been words that have passed through my mind numerous times, "but David encouraged himself in the Lord." And for myself, I never seemed to find as much success as David seemed to have. So just recently, I decided I was going to look into this and try to find out more exactly what David did, instead of just trying this generic, vague concept. And so that's what we're going to look at this morning, how David encouraged himself in the Lord. And next week, I intend to go back to our study on fundamentalism. I was going to look at it, and because, I mean, it's been, 3 weeks since I've looked at anything, and I can't even remember what we will be looking at next. But I do intend to get back to that next week. But for today, for this morning, we're going to look at the phrase, "But David encouraged himself in the Lord." We find the verse in 1 Samuel 30, verse 6. It says, "And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord." And I think you guys probably all pretty well remember the story. David is being chased by Saul. So he flees Saul and he lives in the dens and the caves for a while. And then he ends up going into the land of the Philistines. And he's actually given a town, Ziklag, if I remember right, that he's the ruler of the town where him and his people live. And now a battle comes up between Israel. It's going to be between Saul and the Philistines. All the five lords of the Philistines are gathering their armies together and going up to fight against Israel. And the one lord under whom David was brings David and his men with them. But then when the rest of them all consult together before the battle, they're like, "No, David can't be here." They send David back. And that process of time when all the Philistine army was out of their land, the enemy comes in, destroys the entire town, the whole area, and one of the towns that they take was Ziklag. So everything that David owned, his wives, all of his men's wives, everything was gone. They come back to an empty city. And David was greatly distressed, along with all the rest of the people. "For the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord." And we are all extremely familiar with the first half of this verse. David was greatly distressed. We know exactly what that is. But the great problem comes in where we understand this first half of the verse all too well, and we get to the second half and we don't understand it. We're a little lost. Like, what did David do? David encouraged himself in the Lord. What does that mean? And then we try it and we find that it doesn't work so well for us. I understand being greatly distressed. But David found an answer, and I need that answer. Somehow in the midst of his distress, he was able to encourage himself in the Lord. And this is entirely off the subject, but in my Bible reading, I happened to read this story. In a little peripheral detail, it's not even important, it's hardly important for the story, stood out to me, just showing the nature of humanity. So let me just read to you a couple of these verses and then point out the interesting thing. In Mark 16:9, we read, "Now when Jesus was risen early, the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils, and she went and told them that had been with him, as they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. After that he appeared in another form unto two of them as they walked and went into the country. And they went and told it to the residue, neither believed they them." So the fact that Jesus was going to come back out of the grave was simply too good to be true. Jesus had said that he would rise again. But because they didn't believe him, they forgot that he said. But then there was another group of people that didn't forget. And let's read about those people. "Now the next day that followed the day of the preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, 'Sir, we remember that that deceiver said, while he was yet alive, after 3 days I will rise again. Command therefore that the sepulchre be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away and say unto the people, he is risen from the dead. So the last error shall be worse than the first.' Pilate said unto them, 'Ye have a watch, go your way, and make it as sure as ye can.' So they went and made the sepulchre sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch." So the disciples were depressed because Jesus was dead, and they forgot that he said he would rise again. And the Pharisees were afraid because they remembered that Jesus said he would rise again. The disciples were depressed being in the right because they forgot the details. The Pharisees were afraid being in the wrong because they remembered the details. And isn't that human nature? Whatever is worst is what we remember. Whatever is worst. Anyway, so how did David rise above this? How did David encourage himself in the Lord? And this is not something he did just once. This was the way he lived. And we find it all throughout the Psalms. In that story, in 1 Samuel 30, verse 6, we just have the simple fact that says, "But David encouraged himself in the Lord." But I think if we open the Psalms, and I'm going to look at four of the Psalms this morning, which give us a few details of more specifically what David did. And that's what we're going to look at. I'm going to start in Psalm 31. I'm going to go ahead and read the whole psalm. None of these psalms I'm going to be looking at are going to be too long. Most psalms aren't. "In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness. Bow down thine ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be thou my strong rock, for a house of defense to save me. For thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Pull me out of the net that they have laid privily for me. For thou art my strength. Into thine hand I commit my spirit, for thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. I have hated them that regard lying vanities, but I trust in the Lord. I will be glad and rejoice in thy mercy, for thou hast considered my trouble. Thou hast known my soul in adversities, and hast not shut me up into the hand of the enemy. Thou hast set my feet in a large room. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. Mine eye is consumed with grief, yea, my soul and my belly. For my life is spent with grief and my years with sighing. My strength faileth because of mine iniquity, and my bones are consumed. I was a reproach among all mine enemies, but especially among my neighbors, and a fear to mine acquaintance. They that did see me without fled from me. I am forgotten as a dead man out of mind. I am like a broken vessel, for I have heard the slander of many. Fear was on every side. While they took counsel together against me, they devised to take away my life. But I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God. My times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Save me for thy mercy's sake. Let me not be ashamed, O Lord, for I have called upon thee. Let the wicked be ashamed, and let them be silent in the grave. Let the lying lips be put to silence, which speak grievous things proudly and contemptuously against the righteous. O, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. Blessed be the Lord, for he hath showed me his marvelous kindness in a strong city. For I said in my haste, I am cut off from before thine eyes. Nevertheless, thou heardest the voice of my supplications when I cried unto thee. Love the Lord, all ye his saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful, and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. And this phrase is one you can expect to pull out of a promise box. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. It just sounds so sweet. Be encouraged, because God is going to give you strength. I can see this verse making it into everybody's promise box. And this is interesting thing that I was thinking of. I can even see it fitting in Adolf Hitler's promise box. I can see him pulling this out of his box one morning when he's discouraged. And he smiled just the way you did when he saw that, oh, God was going to be with him if only he would hope in the Lord. Of course, I just make that up. But what does this really mean? Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. We can pull that out of context, and we can just use it across the board. But let's start at the beginning of the psalm. David starts out pleading with God. In verse 1, he is asking that he would never be ashamed. In verse 2, he begs for deliverance. In verse 3, he asks for leading and guidance. In verse 4, he asks God to pull him out of the net that has been laid for him. In verse 5, he commits himself to God. In verse 6, he takes his stand and he says, I trust in the Lord. In verses 7 and 8, he builds off that and says, thou hast considered my trouble. In verses 9 through 13, he builds the climax of why he is feeling this way. He speaks of grief and sighing. He was a reproach to his enemies and even his neighbors. He speaks of being forgotten and likens himself to a broken bowl. Then in verse 14, we find the first key. He says, but I trusted in Thee, O Lord. I said, Thou art my God. In verse 15, he acknowledges that God is in control of when he was born and when he dies. He says, My times are in his hand. In verse 16, he asks that God's face would shine upon him. In verses 17 and 18, he repeats his request that God would not let him be ashamed. In verses 19 through 21, he praises God for his goodness. In verse 22, he expresses a little repentance for his hastiness to believe that he was cut off from God. He says, For I said in my haste, I am cut off from before thine eyes. In verse 23, he calls to all the Lord's saints to love the Lord. And this is the context in which we find verse 24. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all you that hope in the Lord. So how did David encourage himself in the Lord? Well, first he takes his stand and he says, Thou art my God. No matter what happens, no matter how bad it gets, Thou art my God. Then he acknowledges that God is in control of when he was born and when he dies, thereby expressing that God is in control of every moment in between as well. Then he praises God. Then he repents for not fully trusting God. Then after all those preliminary things, he says to himself and to all who will read this psalm, Be of good courage. Psalm 56 is another one. This psalm is very vital, because what David addresses in this psalm is something that for some people could probably be the entire answer for their distress. He says, Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresseth me. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me, O Thou Most High. What time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee. In God I will praise His word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Every day they wrest my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather themselves together. They hide themselves. They mark my steps. They wait for my soul. Shall they escape by iniquity? In thine anger, cast down the people, O God. Thou tellest my wanderings. Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are not they in thy book? When I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me. In God will I praise his word. In the Lord will I praise his word. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. Thy vows are upon me, O God. I will render praises unto Thee, for Thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt not Thou deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living? His theme throughout this is a comparison of trusting God and fearing man. David was human, just like the rest of us. We don't find him saying, I can't even find room in my heart to fear man. No. We find him making a resolve before God and man, saying, I will not fear man, and I will trust God. He says, I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. He starts out by almost expressing fear. But then he says, no, I will not fear. Then he goes back and he expresses more fear. And then he says, I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. Thy vows are upon me, O God. I will render praise unto thee, for thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt not thou deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living? So how did David encourage himself in the Lord? He refused to look at men and what they could do. And he directed his thoughts toward God. Another psalm I want to look at this morning is Psalm 38. So let's turn there as well. David writes, O Lord, rebuke me not in thy wrath, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. For thine arrows stick fast in me, and thy hand presseth me sore. There is no soundness in my flesh because of thine anger, neither is there any rest in my bones because of my sin. For mine iniquities are gone over my head. As an heavy burden, they are too heavy for me. My wounds stink and are corrupt because of my foolishness. I am troubled. I am bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day long. For my loins are filled with a loathsome disease, and there is no soundness in my flesh. I am feeble and sore broken. I have roared by reason of the disquietness of my heart. Lord, all my desire is before thee, and my groaning is not hid from thee. My heart panteth, my strength faileth. As for the light of mine eyes, it also is gone from me. My lovers and my friends stand aloof from my sore, and my kinsmen stand afar off. They also that seek after my life lay snares for me, and they that seek my hurt speak mischievous things, and imagine deceits all the day long. But I, as a deaf man, heard not, and I was as a dumb man that openeth not his mouth. Thus I was as a man that heareth not, and his mouth are no reproofs. For in thee, O Lord, do I hope. Thou wilt hear, O Lord my God. For I said, hear me, lest otherwise they should rejoice over me. When my foot slippeth, they magnify themselves against me. For I am ready to halt, and my sorrow is continually before me. For I will declare mine iniquity, I will be sorry for my sin. But mine enemies are lively, and they are strong, and they that hate me wrongfully are multiplied. They also that render evil for good are mine adversaries, because I follow the thing that good is. Forsake me not, O Lord, O my God, be not far from me. Make haste to help me, O Lord, my salvation. I don't know, each person has their own thing that gets them more easily discouraged. And I know for myself, it's myself. It's my own character. I know that God is good, and I know that I am not. Sometimes I find myself fearing that I would forfeit all of God's blessings by my own foolishness. And for that reason, Psalm 38 sticks out to me, because here David says that his troubles are caused by his sin and foolishness. And I also like Psalm 38 because it expresses David's struggle. He doesn't finish as strong as he does in some of the Psalms. It's easy for us to read, David encouraged himself in the Lord, and go on thinking that David never struggled with this. But that's not true. And then we can hold the standard too high. But here David came out on top. Yes. But we don't see the triumph that we see in some of the Psalms. But he still gives a hint here. He says, I am wicked. I am a sinner. I am foolish. I am troubled. I go mourning all the day long. My heart panteth, my strength faileth. But thou wilt hear, O Lord my God. Thou wilt hear in verse 15. Verse 16, for I said, hear me. Here we find the simplest expression of faith. He simply says, the Lord is going to hear me because I asked Him to. For in Thee, O Lord, do I hope, for Thou wilt hear, O Lord my God. For I said, hear me, lest otherwise they should rejoice over me. When my foot slippeth, they magnify themselves against me. So how did David encourage himself in the Lord? He asked God to help him and believed that God heard his request. The last psalm I want to go to this morning is Psalm 27. We read, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. For in the time of trouble He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in His tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praise unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When Thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto Thee, Thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not Thy face far from me. Put not Thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me Thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are rising up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted, unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. David starts out asking, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? He talks about a host of enemies camping against him. And then he switches to expressing his desire to dwell in the house of the Lord because he would hide himself in his secret pavilion. Then, as if to throw in a little leverage with God, he says, when you said, seek me, I sought you. Then the climax of the psalm is verse 13 and 14. When he tells us what kept him from fainting. He said, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. David has troubles mounting up around him. And he says, all I want to do is hide myself in God's pavilion. With all these troubles around me, I just want to go hide in God's pavilion. But he gives us the secret of how he handled it all. He says, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. So how did David encourage himself in the Lord? He stopped and considered the goodness of God. And he believed that that goodness would be visible to his eyes while he yet lived. Essentially, it comes down to what Dan preached a while back, and I forgot he had to remind me of this. His four D's of the downward spiral. says it starts with disappointment, then discouragement, then depression, and then despair. And what Dan was telling me is you have to counter disappointment with faith before it reaches discouragement and depression and despair. And disappointment doesn't have to be someone else. Doesn't have to be someone else to let you down. As I was just mentioning for myself, it's my own failures. It's when I disappoint myself that I get discouraged the fastest. Positive expectations lost, or the expectation of a bleak future, are the two things that discourage somebody. And David did figure out how to handle these things by countering them with faith. So to recap a little bit, in Psalm 31, David acknowledges that God is in control of when he was born and when he dies. Then he praises God and repents of his disbelief. In Psalm 56, he refuses to fear man. In Psalm 38, he asks for help in spite of his sin and foolishness, and rests in the fact that God will hear. In Psalm 38, he countered bleak horizons with a confidence that his eyes would behold God's goodness while he yet lived. Just as a little side note, don't let your little sinful heart define for God how he must display his goodness. That is up to him. But you can be absolutely confident that your eyes will see it. God is good, and my eyes will behold that goodness at work. And this is just four of the argued 73 to 78 Psalms written by David. You can go home and read the rest of them if you want the rest of this sermon. Because there's going to be a whole lot more. So I'm going to change gears a little bit from this and just continue talking on this on the subject of encouragement. But this message is for myself. And as I already mentioned, it's much harder for me to handle something that I've brought upon myself. If you have sinned and you're now feeling the consequences of it, it's very easy to despair. You don't have to question if God loves you or if you're saved. But you might begin to question what the purpose for your life is. Why are you here if all you do is fail? Why does God still have you here? And if you're ever there, there's a verse in Hebrews that's there just for you. Now I'm just going to read this passage to you. Hebrews 12, starting in verse 3 through 13. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. And he quotes Proverbs, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. You guys don't have to raise your hands, but has anybody been to that place where they're more discouraged than they ought to be for their circumstances, and they almost wish that things would go worse so they'd have a reason to feel the way they felt? Have you ever been that way? You almost, because you're just discouraged. And see, I've been there, and that's the thing, that's what I think of when I hear, make straight paths for your feet. When you're discouraged, it gets easy to almost make things worse for yourself. And he's saying, you're already lame. Make straight paths. Why should the lame be turned out of the way? And then he says, the very fact that God is dealing with you is because he considers you his son. The very thing that is causing you to let your hands hang down in discouragement, he says, because of that, lift up your hands. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. Wherefore, lift up the hands that hang down. The exhortation of Hebrews 12 is lift up your hands because the very thing that is depressing you would have been an encouragement to you if you hadn't forgotten that God only chastens those whom He loves. One more random place of scripture that I would like to go on this subject is Lamentations chapter 3. And I'm going to read a good portion of it here. You can follow along if you want. We read, Jeremiah says, I am the man that hath seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. He hath led me and brought me into darkness, but not into light. Surely against me is he turned. He turneth his hand against me all the day. My flesh and my skin hath he made old. He hath broken my bones. Verse 5. He hath builded against me and compassed me with gall and travail. He hath set me in dark places as they that be dead of old. He hath hedged me about that I cannot get out. He hath made my chain heavy. And when I cry and shout, he shutteth out my prayer. He hath enclosed my ways with hewn stone. He hath made my paths crooked. He was unto me as a bear lying in wait and as a lion in secret places. He hath turned aside my ways and pulled me in pieces. He hath made me desolate. He hath bent his bow and set me as a mark for the arrow. He hath caused the arrows of his quiver to enter into my reins. I was a derision to all the people and their song all the day. He hath filled me with bitterness. He hath made me drunken with wormwood. He hath also broken my teeth with gravel stones. He hath covered me with ashes. And thou hast removed my soul far off from peace. I forgot prosperity. And I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. Remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall, my soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should have hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. And then I'm going to skip a few verses and read from verse 31. For the Lord will not cast off forever, but though he cause grief, yet will he have compassion according to the multitude of his mercies. For he doth not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of men, to crush under his feet all the prisoners of the earth, to turn aside the right of a man before the face of the Most High. To subvert a man in his cause, the Lord approveth not. Who is he that saith, and it cometh to pass when the Lord commandeth it not? Out of the mouth of the Most High proceedeth not evil and good. Wherefore doth a living man complain, a man for the punishment of his sins. So, how did David encourage himself in the Lord? Well, first he takes his stand. He says, "Thou art my God no matter what happens, no matter how bad it gets." Then he acknowledges that God is in control of when he was born and when he dies, thereby expressing that God is in control of his life. Then he praises God. Then he repents for not fully trusting God. Then after all these things, he says to himself and to you, "Be of good courage." He refused to look at men and what they could do, directed his thoughts toward God. He asked God to help him and believed that God heard his request. He stopped and considered the goodness of God, and he believed that that goodness would be visible to his eyes while he lived. And now we need to remember to lift up our hands that hang down, because chastening is a sign of sonship. And then we can remember the words of Jeremiah. "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness to us, and we thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for the confidence that we can have in your goodness. We thank you that we can be confident that our eyes will behold your goodness while we are yet alive. We pray, Father, that you would encourage anybody here who is discouraged. Help them to take the courage they need from your word and from the words of David in Psalms. Help us, Lord, and bless us. And we pray now that you'll be with us in the next hour. Help us to use this day to honor and glorify you. Amen. And let's dismiss.